Good afternoon and welcome to the Thursday, June 26th, 2025 Vail Park and Recreation District meeting. Everyone is present. Mike, any changes?
No, sir.
Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes from our last regularly scheduled meeting on May 22nd, 2025.
And I would second that.
No changes, hearing no conversation. All those in favor?
Aye.
I also am in favor. That passes. Public input. This is your opportunity to speak on something that is not on tonight's agenda. If you have public input, please come up and introduce yourself.
Just form a line.
Oh, they're emptying the car right now.
Okay.
Seeing none, I will close public input. New business and special orders. Mike, I'm going to give that to you.
Okay. We have two of our scholarship award winners here tonight for the Vail Scholar Athlete. So we want to give them some congratulations and a nice check to start off their college education with. We actually had three winners this year, but Daniel Sanchez, who is a Battle Mountain high school athlete and scholar, is not able to attend tonight. So we'll start with Connor Wadey. Connor is going to the University of Alabama. He attends high school or graduated from high school from VMS. A very impressive GPA of 3.67 at VMS is a very, very good score, as they're very heavily weighted there. He chose Alabama because of athletics, academics, and the opportunity to continue to play hockey. So he's going to play club hockey there. He thinks the most exciting thing about going there is living his whole life in Vail and wants to explore and is excited about exploring social groups and cultures within America that he has not been able to experience before. He plans to use the money for his books. Some of his accomplishments, he was the assistant captain of the Battle Mountain hockey team his junior year and captain his senior year. He was named second team all league for his senior year as well. One thing that I wanted to say is Connor's mom is very helpful to the VRD and to the town. That's Allie Wadey. And so we want to say congratulations to her. She couldn't make it tonight. I'm sure she's very proud of her son. And I want to give I can't ever read without my glasses. Check to Connor and say congratulations.
Hey, Connor, I never let anybody get off without speaking. You're heading into the real world. You've got to present. Congratulations, first of all. And what are you going to be studying in Alabama?
First, thank you so much. It's such an honor to receive an award like this. I'm planning to, on the pre-med track, I'm majoring in biology. This first semester is going to be pretty difficult. I'm taking 16 credit hours and still trying to balance it with hockey there. Our tryouts is the first day after I move on to campus on August 15th. I was recently in orientation there, so I got all my classes settled. I know my schedule. It doesn't look too bad, but it's a little full. But we'll see once we get there. I chose pre-med because I've had several knee injuries, and one of my best friend's dad did all my surgeries, Armando Vidal. So that kind of sparked my interest in the medical field.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to hearing and watching your career unfold. Come up, shake our hands, please, and congratulations, my friend. Good job.
Thank you so much.
Good job.
Congratulations. Come back and visit us.
Of course.
All right.
Have a little fun, too.
Good luck. Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
I knew there was something coming from that end of the table.
Okay, our next award winner is Sage Gwynn. And I'm going to list her accomplishments, but I'm going to have Julie Werney. I keep calling her by her maiden name. She's our gymnastics coach, and Sage was in our program for a number of years. So we're going to let Julie actually award her check. Sage is going to go to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville.
Oh.
John doesn't like that. She's going to use the scholarship money to help pay for her education. She was a competitive gymnast with us for 6 years, from third grade to freshman year of high school at Vail Gymnastics. She had a lot of success in competitions. She qualified for state championships every year and had multiple top five finishes throughout her years. She was also awarded Gymnast of the Year in our gym, Hardest Worker twice, and Outstanding Leadership and Most Dedicated. She also played basketball at Battle Mountain High School, 10th through 12th grade. She won the Most Improved Player of the Year her junior year and was the Varsity Sixth Woman of the Year in her senior year. She was academic all-state first team for both track and basketball in her junior and senior years. She's a National Honor Society member, elected to be the public relations officer for National Honor Society. She's a National English Honor Society for 2 years, Science Olympiad for 3 years, Walking Mountains volunteering for 2 years, Vail Resorts, where she worked a restaurant job at the Game Creek Club, and she's been babysitting for a number of years. Her awards: she was an outstanding AP bio student her junior year, outstanding mathematics achievement junior year, foreign language department outstanding student her sophomore year, and she's the top 10% of her class all her years of high school. She was AP scholar with distinction and underclassman outstanding science student. She puts in here, yes, we ask a question, involvement in VRD program. She put yes with an exclamation point. Vail Gymnastics, which is a Vail Recreation District program. She also played youth soccer with us, and she has participated in other things with us as well. Sage Gwynn, if you would come up, and Julie, if you'd come up.
Yay, Sage. Julie, please. Either one is working. If you feel more comfortable standing or seated together, you guys have spent enough time together.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of coaching Sage for 5 or 6 years. She started teeny tiny, picking her up from after school care at Red Sandstone Elementary School every day. And to say she was dedicated would be an understatement. She was someone who showed, I don't think she ever missed a practice, ever. She showed up to every class, every practice. She was the first one to show up for her team. So she was a hard worker, she was committed, dedicated. But on top of that, she was a very loyal and kind friend and teammate. Everybody relied on Sage. She was just a joy to be around, and I couldn't think of anyone more deserving. So congratulations, I'm very proud of you.
So much.
Sage is a spokesperson for it. You ought to be a natural up here. What are you going to study? Where are you going to go?
I'm going to go to Tennessee.
Come on, microphone. They want to hear you at home.
And I'm going to study civil engineering.
Civil engineering.
Yes.
Great. Well, you certainly, with the resume that you was just read, you are an overachiever. And you know what? You get ahead by achieving. And we're very proud of you, and congratulations.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for this honor. Like, the VRD has made me who I am today, so I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for you for being here, too. Yes.
We all have a mentor, don't we?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Come on up, shake our hands. Congratulations. Oops. Oh, crash.
Congratulations. Good luck next year.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
You're going to do great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. I had a resume like that.
No. You did not have a resume like that. You would not have been eligible to receive a scholarship.
I wouldn't have been. I was not a scholarship candidate. I was a candidate for other things, but it wasn't scholarships. Okay. Next item on the agenda is presentation and acceptance of the financial audit. Mr. Eric Weaver. Eric, you want to tee it off in any direction?
Yeah, happy to. Matt Miller with McMahon and Associates wasn't able to join us tonight. He's actually given a presentation in Grand Junction for someone who had a new finance director, so I told him I was happy to cover for this. Overall, the audit went very well. It was a little bit different this year because we really didn't have an office of being in Dobson, so everything was done remotely. And kudos to April for working through all of what that took, since we're not on a fully digital system here. But overall, it went smoothly. There is a board communication letter that's the first part of the packet there. There's a couple things I wanted to highlight. In governmental world, it's kind of amazing to me, but they seem to kind of always come up with new ideas of how we should change our financials. And this year they came up with the idea that even though if an employee doesn't leave, or if an employee leaves, we don't have to pay out sick time. They wanted us to come up with an idea of, well, if an employee stayed, how much of the sick time that's on the, is accrued, how much of that should be accrued as a liability? And so it doesn't affect what you guys see because we're on closer to a cash basis. They make us put this on as a long-term liability. But because of this, they made us restate the beginning equity of the district and then add on roughly $400,000 of costs of accrued sick time that we think we may have to pay even if an employee doesn't leave. So I definitely want to highlight that. It's not that we did anything wrong. It's a new accounting standard that has to be done. And so we've added that. We've always accrued vacation because if an employee leaves, we have to pay out their vacation. But now there's a new requirement that we also add in sick. The only other significant item I would say is that they did find one invoice from Zarin Associates. I think that invoice came in late to us. That they, when they looked back at it, it was dated in 2025. They said, hey, this really was for December services. And so we agreed that we should go ahead and accrue that invoice as a payable. Happy to go over any other items on this communication letter to the board before we actually talk about the financial statements themselves.
Question, as you teed that off, you talked about how they're making this change. Accrued sick time and PTO and stuff like that. In section D5, number 7, compensated absences. Can you shed any light on that? I read that and I'm wondering if that ties into what you just teed it up as.
It does. So in, you guys have to understand that governments keep two sets of books. And the books that we that are in my financial statements are really what is happening short term, near term, right? So we have revenues coming in and expenses going out. That's the primary focus of what we as financial managers of governments try to focus on. But governments then add another component to it when you get to the audit, and it's in our financials as well. I just don't highlight it, but they say, hey, why don't we try to make this look like a for business? Entity. Let's add on their fixed assets and let's add on their long-term debt. And what this is, this compensated absence, is saying, hey, this isn't anything that's going to affect us tomorrow, but there is a liability out there of VRD that, you know, all these employees have accrued vacation that if they left, we would have to pay that out. And we've always had that on the books. The new part of this is they said, even if an employee leaves and we don't have to pay off their sick time, which is very standard in both governmental and regular business. They said, hey, but the entity still has a liability out there. Why don't you estimate how much of that you think you might have to pay out in future years based on your history? And so that's where we're adding on this new component. So it's really accrued vacation and now an estimate of accrued sick.
Accrued sick, is that what you just said?
Yeah, accrued sick time. We have two different accruals that we have for employees. They earn it on a per hour worked basis, and it accrues on their pay stub. And now we have to say, well, how much of that accrued sick if employee, Joe Smith has 45 hours of accrued sick time at the end of the year, how much do we think he's actually going to use based on historical usage of sick time?
But if Joe Smith left the organization,
in sick time,
he would be entitled to the vacation time?
Correct. Vacation.
And what amount of sick time? Have we got that capped?
Zero
sick time.
Yeah, pretty standard in business that you accrue your vacation and you accrue your sick time, but if you leave, you don't get that paid out to you.
Okay, I just saw that and that looked new. While I'm on that page, and you've explained it to me before, but go up to six, inventory.
It's
it's just backwards to me, and if you could explain it to me again, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, and Nordic is a great example, right? At the end of the year, Dan Tim and the Nordic Center has a lot of inventory in hand in the shop. And we call that an asset, saying, hey, we purchased that inventory. We're not going to expense that. So you don't see it going through expenses. You see it held in inventory at December 31st. Then on January 1st, when the Nordic shop sells a pair of skis or boots or whatever it is, that at that point is when it runs through cost of goods and shows as an expense. And so at the end of the year, golf inventory is fairly low. Food and beverage is, fairly low. We're not in the peak of summer. But Nordic is at a kind of all-time high there at December 31st. And then by the end of the season, we do our best to deplete that inventory down. But it doesn't show as an expense in cost of goods until the actual, sale of that unit. And we have a point of sale system that tracks all those costs and does all of that for us.
Even though you're bringing it in under FIFO?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. I know I asked this question last year, and I'm still confused this year, Eric, but thank you.
Is there anything I can do to explain it better? It sits on the, it sits on the balance sheet until the day it's sold. So if we buy a $100 pair of skis and we paid $100 for them, they sit on the balance sheet as an asset until the day they are sold. And only when they're sold do they come off as an expense. So that's why in our financials, I don't go over it in great detail, but we closely track cost of goods so that we can really say, hey, things that are being sold, are these being sold at a reasonable profit margin? And throughout the year, we see different ratios on cost of goods. When Dan is saying, hey, I held over some inventory from the prior year and I'm putting that on sale, cost of goods is running a little high. And we expect to see that as we go through the year, then we get into peak season, he's selling that new inventory. We expect to see those cost of goods come down a little bit. So it's something we're monitoring the background continually, literally every month, watching all these. Same thing in food and beverage. What's the cost of goods going out for food, for liquor, all the different things. And certainly on the golf side right now is a big highlight of what we're watching as well.
Thank you. Kirk, I see you've got some things highlighted.
This may seem trivial, but so Colo Trust that has our $13.695 million in it is held by a designated custodial bank. Do you know what bank that is?
I don't know exactly what that term banks, but or what that term means, but it's really not. What we own is it's a massive pool, and overall the pool is rated AAA rated. And we, we are one member of thousands of governmental entities in here that own, this large array of, AAA rated different securities. And so I've actually never honed in on exactly what that means to that bank, but we are not part of a bank. There's no FDIC coverage or anything like that. But it is one of the safest investments that we've ever been able to find for a governmental entity to have.
So there is zero risk or near zero risk of that money being
upset. Yeah, I can never say zero risk, yeah. But you're investing in a AAA rated, basically fund designed exactly for governmental entities in Colorado, and it's only in Colorado.
Right.
I can certainly provide you a lot of information on Colitrust, but I would say 98% of our entities are invested in Colitrust, and we've done a lot of research into them versus other options in previous years.
Okay. No, everything else looked correct. So, thank you.
Kim, anything? John, Molly?
No.
In terms of the audit opinion itself, the district received a clean, or what we called an unmodified opinion on the audit. The district, the auditors really don't have any recommendations for any changes in internal controls that are. They did highlight a few ideas, if you will, in the communication letter, but really nothing of significance that we need to change in terms of internal controls. Happy to answer any questions that you guys have, but I don't want to take too much time.
Got, well, we hate to keep you from the pond, but we're going to keep you.
On
page 9, we talk about gift cards. I don't remember seeing this last time. Maybe I was mistaken. But we've got approximately $18,500 of gift cards recorded that are older than 5 years. Is this something that now has to be identified because of the Great Colorado Payback?
Yeah, this is something that drives me a little bit crazy in the governmental world. So in business, I think all of you know, businesses love to sell gift cards because they know not everybody's going to redeem those gift cards, and it's a way to make profit. That's not why we do it. But in being the business of gift cards, yes, we do have some gift cards out there that are more than 5 years old and nobody's redeemed them. And we've always honored those gift cards in the past, saying if you walk in 10 years after you bought that gift card and you want to redeem it, we're happy to do it. The auditors are recommending, and we'll have to dive into this a little more, they're recommending that we write a check for $18,000 and send it to the state so that the state can put it on the list in case anyone who had a gift card ever wanted to go find out, hey, I didn't redeem that gift card, but now I can go to the Great Colorado Payback and get my money back. We can look into this more. It's really not anything from a financial standpoint. I think they're just highlighting that, I guess, it's best practice in government. But it would involve us writing an $18,000 check and giving that to the state in hopes that maybe someone might go out there and try to find their gift card balance.
Is it required to do that?
I need to research a little more. This would be the first entity we've actually done this with. It probably is in Colorado law something that we are supposed to do, but it's nothing but work on the VRD and a check that the VRD has to write to be able to do that. And in reality, is anyone going to go out and find it? I don't know. Maybe a few would. But it's a lot of work on the VRD side for something that we have to write a check for. So we've never made it a huge priority for us because, like I say, we honor that gift card if you walk in.
Okay.
That's the way to take care of that issue. But, yeah, that looked new to me. And one more thing, B3. Down there, it's the on the expense side. Sorry, we're on the expense side.
Okay.
Prior period adjustment.
That's where they changed the rules on sick time, and we had to go back and say, if we had implemented this back in 2023, the amount of sick time that would have gone on to the books would have been $431,000. So in my world, prior period adjustments are not something you want to see in financial statements, but this is unavoidable. This was a change in the way the rules are done for accounting. Nothing that we did wrong. They just changed the rules and said, hey, you know what? Now we decided that you should estimate that sick time, and the sick time came out of a calculation of a, you know, it's a big number. Again, if employees leave, they don't get that. But based on, you know, guess what? Employees get sick throughout the year. And so we had to add this liability. Again, doesn't affect what you all see in a month-to-month meeting. This is a long-term potential, I would say, liability. And not what we normally report, but it was a requirement for us to make that change.
as they keep changing it on us. Thank you very much, Eric.
Yeah, we may have a new one next year. They love to come up with these new rules and make us change things that ultimately it doesn't affect anything that we're doing. We didn't change any policies, any rules, anything. They just changed how we are supposed to report what we've always done.
Understood, sir. Anybody else have any other questions for Eric?
Been through the presentation of the financial audit, I would move that we accept the 2024 financial audit.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? I'd just like to say thank you, April. I know you were heavily involved in this. Thank you, Eric. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 I also am in favor. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business. It's still unfinished business, but a presentation. Where am I? I lost it. Unfinished business. Golf course and Gore Creek master plan that we tried to tee up at the last meeting and technical difficulties got us.
Yes.
Going to give it to us again, Mike?
Going to try it to.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say thanks for now for bailing me out of IT oblivion, I guess. Didn't know where I was. But if you'll look at this, now let's keep going to the opening page, which is the one with the planning, different planning zones on it. That one right there. Okay. Let's see. Yes. Thank you. So if you look, it's a little hard to see on that screen, but if you have it on your iPad, but it's really the goals of the master plan. So I'll read those to you. Increase sinuosity, habitat, and diversity. Provide terrace floodplain with beaches, benches, and point bars. Include feature boulders with large wood structures. Remove failed structures and emplace riffles and pools. Expand in the golf course without affecting playability. So again, this master plan is really designed to do those things that I just mentioned, but the way that we can help is by maintaining less turf, especially along the water edges. So, you know, it's a town of Vail ordinance to be 10 feet back, I believe, from the water's edge, high water mark. And so we are going to try to do that on the Vail golf course. The caveat to that, and I think I explained this last time, is that our irrigation system is already in place, and so we won't be able to have a total no-mow zone, but we will have a no-mow zone, but we'll keep it at 3 inches, and then we'll fertilize it with organic fertilizers so that are safer for the environment. Some ideas which I think are interesting, and remember, this is a master plan. This is in no way saying that these things are going to get done. A lot of these projects or ideas would take a tremendous amount of money to make happen, but it's a master plan, so we wanted to put everything in there, and if someday somebody deems, some council deems that it's appropriate to accomplish one of these goals, and they have the money to do that, they'll do that. That's why it's exciting for us to start doing this on a volunteer basis, to say we're gonna let the rough grow, mm-hmm. and not mow it, and fertilize it organically. But I think one of the cool things is, if you look in planning zone number 2, realign Gore Creek to its historic channel through the ponds. So that's talking about the ponds that are on 8, 1, 2, and 9. I forgot the 9. And so right now water flows into those, but only at the high water mark, because the flume that they go into is so high. Once the water recedes, no water goes into there. And then that water gets stagnant. And so to keep it from being stagnant, we have in the past been pumping irrigation water in there because we don't want it to smell, we don't want it to be unsightly. And we're gonna try to take care of that problem. I think that is one of the things that we most definitely will attack as soon as we can. So we'll try to bring water through there, or still at the high water mark, maybe improve that a little, but instead of letting water sit there, we will try to, you know, put plantings in there and make it a, you know, a wetland area. So there are some plans to, change the course a little bit so that we can accomplish that. I don't have them here with me because we just drew them up. They'll be on the finished plan. But number 8, for example, we'd like to get away from Gore Creek. So number 8 is the hole that you come in as soon as you come into the golf course across the Pulis Bridge. And it's on the west side of Pulis Bridge. We would move that hole more south, move that green more south, take the cart path and put it somewhere else. We don't want to put it next to the creek, but we would put it somewhere else that hasn't been fully developed yet. And then we'd change the fairway a bit, but now those ponds would be wetland areas instead of stagnant ponds. Also, with our stagnant ponds, we get a lot of algae, which is not good. That creates bugs, maybe good for the animals, but not good for us humans. So we're trying to take care of a lot of things by doing these.
And it makes it hard for me to find my ball.
Yeah.
A question on the inlet from the creek as it stands now. It is higher, and we can't fill that pond.
Correct.
We pump raw water into it.
Correct.
If we were to lower that, we still have a head gate issue out on 17. 17-ish.
Well, where that water...
In relationship, how much higher is this one than our head gate out by 16, 17 tee box?
That head gate really supplies the storage ponds that are right there on, that would be 17 and 18.
Yeah.
So that's not really affecting where they're talking about. Where they're talking about is those, again, 9, 1, 2, and 8. But you're right. The water, the where it exits back into the creek is so high that the water can't get out.
Yeah, and they made us put that head gate at a certain height.
Right.
And that's why we start getting dry. We used to be able to suck a little bit more water out.
Right.
And I just was wondering, I'm sure they've talked about it, the relationship. Because if it gets too low to suck into our main head gate, it's not going to do us any good for the ponds down below.
Correct.
A wetland sounds pretty intriguing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are developments that need wetland credits and mm-hmm. would be happy to share those with us and some of the expensive projects that happen, right? So in that case, we would look to lower that inlet and also the outlet so it goes back into the creek, mm-hmm. create a channel through the golf course that doesn't affect playability, and then you have a nicer, you know, you have a nicer product for everybody. It's a win-win situation. We would really like to see the creek more throughout play, but it's not possible right now the way we have it. But this is an idea that would allow that.
And if the creek became more prevalent in the area of play, you'd still have a 10-foot setback on either side of that creek.
Yeah, depending on
what... No mow, no grow.
Right. Right.
Organic stuff.
So you're taking it through the wetlands. So,
now, do we have on this towards the end water quality sampling?
Yes, we do.
Can you
go to that report, please?
That's okay.
That's all right.
That's all right. I've got Molly here. It's towards the end, and they talk about five different samplings, and they do have healthy, not available. Well, did we start that sampling from the east end and work west? Because I know when I was with the water district, it makes a big difference on where you sample, because the further we go through town, the more fertilizer, effluents, and things like that we're picking up from the creeks that come in. I was just kind of curious as to where they sampled those numbers?
I believe they do, Bob. If you look at that report, does everybody have access to that? You can see that we've got a pretty clean bill of health. You know, our phosphorus is borderline, but I know we were very concerned about nitrates and nitrogen because that's what we use in our fertilizer. And if you look on there, our nitrogen count is way down. So healthy there. I'm happy to report that Pete Wadden tells us that the bug population is going up. The water testing is going good. But we'll do, you know, one area of concern in here is that this testing was done right after runoff, right? So we'll do it again at the end of the golf season and see if water quality and things are still the same.
And
so when I read that, it has three, it either says healthy, which is easy to figure out, but borderline and low. What does borderline and low signify?
Borderline, so let's take phosphorus, for example. The desired range is less than 30 parts, and we're right at 30. So that's what that means, is that, you know, you're looking for a number lower than that.
Okay.
And then low would actually be that, you know, there's some concern that it's so low that there might be an anomaly there. Right.
In the testing, an anomaly in the testing, or?
No, an anomaly in well, actually, the results of the testing, yes.
Okay. Is there like a legend that shows where the different test sites are?
There is. I believe it is on, let's see.
That's kind of the question I was going to, because things change as we go east to west, as we pick up
more stuff. He puts it in the narrative, but I don't believe we have it here.
Okay, that's fine. It was more of a curiosity thing.
Yeah, I'm happy to send all of this to you guys after we're done here. And I might as well share some other exciting news while Nell's working on that. But, you know, we've had trouble with our accessibility on our website. And Streamline came out with a new product where that accessibility is no longer a problem. So we were going to put this report on the website. And like we had 900 PDFs, I think, on the website. And it was just, that's, Nell spent all her time trying to make everything accessible. And now for a small amount of money, we're able, Streamline takes care of all that for us. So that's a big deal. And we'll be able to put our minutes back up if you desire for us to do that. We'll be able to have a website like we had pre-accessibility time.
Well, I can tell the change because I was there today looking, and you can pull up this evening's agenda.
Yeah.
Before we used to just, and the packet, I'm sorry.
Right.
Used to be able to do the agenda, but not the packet. The
right.
Packet's now available. Click down there on the left and
yep.
Boom. How large of a report is this? 900 pages? 50 pages?
No, right now it's about, I would say it's probably in the realm of 30 to 40 pages.
That's fine.
And we're still working on it. I did work on it today. We talked about hole 8 and holes 2 and 8. And Kevin Atkinson had drawn up some renderings of what he thought they could look like, how we could move the green on number 8 south, but still be protected by the wetlands that's in between 8 and 2. If you know where I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing a bunker, we would get rid of the bunkers that are currently on 8, makes the hole so tight, and then open it up, but share a bunker with number 2, which I thought was a really cool idea, because then you're going to move that cart path to a different area. So some really cool ideas.
And you know what, I thank Pete and I thank you. You guys are putting a ton of work in on this, and it's a master plan.
Yeah, it's a master plan. It's a lot of fun to do. I think it's to be quite honest, it's a legacy project for the town of Vail. I mean, to improve the water quality and the bug quality so that animals have feeding, that's a big deal.
So to that point, what is the town of Vail's role in this new master plan?
This is really their master plan.
It is, okay.
Yes. We contributed to it. We put $30,000 into this.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a $120,000 project, I think. So this is really their water, their master plan. You know, the golf course is their land, but we wanted to be a good partner, so we got involved with it.
Yeah.
And Pete Wadden has been a terrific leader on this. He's been great.
What projects, aside from using organic fertilizers within or closer to the creek, and what you were talking about previously in terms of routing, getting rid of the stagnant water, 9-1-2.
Yeah,
are there any other projects?
Let's look at this page. Do you all have this page right here that you can look at, mm-hmm. since mm-hmm. we don't have have it up?
Yes.
So if you look at that pink area, what they would do there is put a point bar there and expand the river.
I'm looking for pink.
So really, the big thing, and I told this to you guys last time, is the water comes down, you know, on that north side of the course, and it's a straight line shot from 10 all the way down to 7, and it's that water is just straight. And so what the town and the group would like to create is, like I said in the beginning, some sinuosity, some more turns in the creek, slow the water down, slow the erosion down. We have a lot of erosion. Number 11 is a good example. If you're on the right side of number 11, right as you cross the bridge, there's a big slough-off area there. So we're looking at putting a bench there, John, and then putting some plantings in there to hold that ground so it doesn't erode anymore. And projects like that, just slowing things down, creating more pools, good for the fish, slows the creek down again. So lots of things like that.
Are any of these short-term projects that funding is within sight for?
I do think so. You know, before you joined the board, we had done a couple projects, if you remember, on number 7. We created a wall there because there was so much erosion there. So we put a wall there. We've done work on number 17 before, same thing, just trying to slow it down. So yes, we do stream bank stabilization, and I think that will continue to happen. We haven't done it in a couple of years because we're doing this study, but I think we'll get back to that, yes. And those have, in the past, John, been 50-50 projects that the town and the VRD both contribute to get that work finished.
Okay. What about plantings? I know there was discussion about there are certainly certain sections of the course where could really use some more brush along the creek.
Part of the reason why Water and Sand wants to be involved in this, and Bob will know this, is they need to cool the creek down. When they take water out, it has to be returned within a certain temperature zone, and so the more plantings and shade that is on the creek, the cooler the water will be. So yes, plantings will be part of this master plan as well. The town is engaged in some of that. They did a lot of work in the last couple of years on especially the back nine, but it was unsuccessful with some willows that they tried to plant, didn't really take off. But I think they have a better plan now, and that was kind of just do it as you saw an opportunity rise. This master plan will actually tell them or give guidance as to where those things should be. And Right Water Engineers has been great too. There's a lot of, you know, there's a fish person in there, there's a hydrologist, there's lots of people that understand water can test for it and do all the things that we need to get done. So they're really guiding this project, and then along with Pete. I'm just sitting there shaking my head every once in a while.
So speaking of the implementation, do you think any of this is gonna start next year?
Well, we'll start, you know, on our part, but I do think stream bank stabilization will happen in the next year, yes. Yeah. I don't think some of these projects, when you have a chance to dive into this, these are expensive projects.
Yeah.
If you want to widen a creek along 8 and 9, you might have to have a new bridge. You have to move the green over. You know, moving a green by itself is a lot of money.
Don't forget the high pressure gas line.
Yeah, and the high pressure gas line is right there. So, you know, again, lots of ideas, but I think, you know, they're not that they'll just be put on a shelf, but you need to strategically. I think at some point council will be given this plan. They'll be the ones that approve it, right? And yeah. They'll, during their retreats, put a priority on what they want accomplished. And that'll be, you know, with what money they have. So we'll start to see some things come off of here. I know that the town staff is very dedicated to it. And we're just glad to be able to have some input into it. You know, because it'll affect our playability. But I think so far we're doing a great job.
Anything else, board members?
No.
Mike, we'll move on to officers and committees. Eric, are you still there?
I am.
Well, welcome
I'm
back.
Actually, I was gone for a while, but I'm back now.
Did you catch a big one or what?
No, now kick me out of the room, I guess.
What's for dinner? Financial report for May. Eric, please.
Yeah, happy to go through, skipping to page 2 of that report, which we normally do, and then I've tried to focus on the far right-hand side of what happened in the month of May. Negative numbers are a bad thing, positive numbers are a good thing, and overall you see a lot of positive numbers. Property taxes are lagging just slightly, but that will reverse itself, so no issue there. Big number there in the positive is the golf course. Early opening of the golf course caused a lot of people to sign up for their passes and punch cards. So I think for now we're saying it'll largely reverse itself in future months, but a lot of money coming in the month of May that we really hadn't anticipated coming in until June. Golf on the food and beverage side started off the year down, but every month they seem to be making up some headroom, which is what the staff over there thought would be happening. So, started off as a negative, but working its way back out as they have a packed calendar for the rest of the year. And then looking at expenses, you know, lots of favorable numbers, really nothing significant on the unfavorable side, looking through operating expenses. Golf maintenance certainly running a little bit favorable. Part of that's timing of ordering parts and supplies for equipment. A little bit of labor costs as well running favorable there in the seasonal line items. And then down to capital. There's still some big question marks there, especially on the athletic field building with those bids coming in higher than budget. And so we're kind of holding at what we had planned to put into there, but working through with the architects and design side to see if we can try to find a way to get that project to come back in more in line with budget. So lots of moving parts in this, especially on the capital side. But overall, operationally, off to a really great start. Don't get too excited that some of this will reverse itself, especially those golf passes and punch cards. I think June will show as being down compared to what we have, but I think it'll level itself back out. Happy to answer any questions.
Anything for Eric? Go back, go fishing. Thanks for your help, Eric.
Thanks, everybody.
Executive Director report, Mike.
Well, I wanted to highlight the PDF for accessibility for the website. I think that's a big deal. We've had lots of races. I wanted to say thank you to Bob for coming out and helping with the Davos Dash. That was a lot of fun. I still can't believe people ride up to the top of that thing from the bottom in 14 minutes. That's pretty amazing. I think the Sawfelds helped as well. Is that true?
We just cheered some people on.
You cheered people on. That's helpful too.
That's a pretty powerful neighborhood we've got down there.
That is great.
Yeah. Look at those four of us that you want to move down to Happy Valley with us first.
Too expensive.
I've in the last couple weeks, I've received a number of numerous or a number of compliments about the camps and after-school program. I just had Marco Valenti today stop me out at the golf course and go on about the staff and how his daughter was very nervous about going to camp, and it was her first day at camp, and she met Gracie, and Gracie walked her through it. Don't start crying. Don't make me cry either. So I'm really proud of them. I think that just what we do in that realm goes unnoticed a lot, and maybe what we should do is have a survey with parents and then have some of them put some testimonials in. But, you know, during the school year, we're watching 50 kids a day. What would those parents do if that daycare wasn't there? And we're the only ones that are doing it at the school. You know, maybe I should take that back. I think the town of Avon does as well. But, you know, they don't do it down valley. You have to go to the rec center or somewhere else. But we walk the kids over by hand from the classroom into the gym to do our program, or we walk them over to gymnastics. And you heard Sage, you know, did that ever since she was a little girl. So very proud of that. I wanted to highlight that. I want to be honest with you guys, we are having some complaints about our new registration system. We're trying as hard as we can to get things done, but you know, it's there's a lot that needs to be done, and we opted for this because it's a custom built system, but it's taking longer than we had anticipated or hoped for, and so we're just going to have to suffer through it. We're trying to be very open with parents when they get, you know, nervous or excited about kids not being registered or charged the wrong amount of money. We're refunding. We're doing everything necessary to make things right. I just want you to know that. But I'd be lying if I said it was all rosy and great. So,
whenever you switch something, there's little gremlins.
So,
what are some of the major obstacles you guys are encountering?
Well, for us on our side, we're not getting great reporting capabilities. So as we want to look at a roster or see who's paid, or like one thing I looked at with Joel was the number of comps that we do in the bike series. So a bike shop will pay for John and Molly to race for them, so it's a comp, but then we bill them at the end of the year. Well, we can't find that information right now. But we're working hard with our developer to get that stuff done.
Okay.
You know, rosters for camp. We might have an address, but we don't have phone numbers. If we want to reach out to somebody, we don't really need an address. We need a phone number. Okay. So things like that. But we're getting there.
Okay.
They are working hard on it. They are responsive. It's just I don't think it's intuitive to them all the time, and you would say, well, why is that not? But their bread and butter before us was really facilities, which is a whole different game. We have facilities in there as well, but you know, the programs are really more dynamic than renting out a facility.
What else you got there, Mike?
Pardon me?
Anything else, highlights here?
I don't think so.
I see we've filled the banquet manager's position.
We have. She is a young lady that actually comes extremely qualified. She is the general manager in the hotel business, and so we're excited about that. We just had a little party for Adrian leaving yesterday. Wish her luck. And we're excited about, she's already done some special events for us. Anna, she likes to be called Anna. She's very qualified, and staff is excited about her and welcomes her to the team. And I think she's been on two weekends now and has done a number of events. She was slowly brought in, and kind of Adrian trained her, and then she did her own event last Sunday, I believe, and got got rave reviews. So excited about that.
With that, thank you, Mike. We'll go to board member input. Molly has volunteered to go first.
I was voluntold, but here I am. You know me, I'm always singing camp's praises. So here's some examples of the things that they have done this week. They went to, you could either go to Pirate Ship Park and do Imagination Station, where they made pizzas, or you could go to Bolero in Denver. They could go to, next day they could go to Ford Park and then play golf, and then the other group could go swimming at the Avon Rec. So these activities are just so cool. My kids were late today, so they didn't get to go to the mine, but they'll find their way, because they do yearn for the mines, as children do. I just want to also mention golf. I had always heard great things about the First Tee program, and my kids are loving it. It's the cutest thing ever. And the golf course itself has been in great shape. The staff has been incredible. You know, a few times I've been told it's running a little slowly, but I ended up finishing early. So they've been doing a great job moving people throughout the course, and it's been in great shape. So congrats and thanks, everybody.
Yeah, I wanted to piggyback with you if I could. So I was out there the other day, and Zoe is one of our new interns from Las Vegas, and she's quite a golfer. And so she had a group of kids, and she was hitting drives from her knees that were going to the yellow flag, which is 190 yards off the tee, right? And the kids were just like oohing on them, do it again, do it again, do it again. But what I really just kind of pulled my heartstrings was when that group switched with Andrew's group, who was working on the practice green to do short game, one little girl walked by and she goes, "That is so cool that a girl can hit the ball that far." It was awesome. So those experiences, I think, you know, it's what we're all about. Makes me happy.
My turn? Right down the row we go. No, that's the way we go. I would like to give a shout out to the Vail Police Department. They had three different vehicles there assisting us with the crowd control or bike control and race control for the Dombos Dash. I think that really helps.
Yes.
Because Jim Sanders and I can stand out there and try slowing down, but when you got something that's got a flasher on it, so thank you for them. I'd like to thank F&B for the lunch that they prepared and presented to the Vail Town Council at their June 3rd meeting. Rave reviews on the food and the preparation. There was a Vail officer that was injured on his motorcycle, Steve Williams, on the 16th, coming through Dowds, had a crash. They've got a GoFundMe page set up for him. He's pretty badly banged up. His safety equipment helped him. You'll see it on town broadcast. They're coming out. They need some help, but I just want to say we're thinking about you. He's a six-year veteran of the force. The trees that we planted to make up for the tree that was poisoned out on 18, are those trees getting water and fertilizer regularly?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The trout, the carving of that tree, is that time to be re-varnished or shellacked?
I'll ask Scott about that. Scott's been watching that.
Good.
Yep.
It's been out there a while, and I know looking at my face and what's going on here, you get weathered being out in the sun, and that's a cool thing, the trouts. Well done with the GoPro races. We did bike and running.
We marked pretty much all the bike and running courses. Yeah. We don't time those. They have a different company that does it. But we're really the production team for a lot of those races. We set those up. And then we do the kids biking, which was, I couldn't believe it. I think we had about 400 kids racing. It was nuts. We just kept doing wave after wave. And all the way down to Striders, little guys, you know, striding up Golden Peak was pretty fun to watch.
Now I wanted to acknowledge the job well done by the staff on that one. And I did see here pickleball resurfacing scheduled for the 11th of August.
We knew we'd get it done.
That's right.
That's all I have.
Thank you, VRD. A couple of things for me. A question about the greens at the golf course. We see the Poana starting to come back in. Poana always wins, right? Are we surprised at the rate it's coming back in, or not really? Okay.
Not really. You've been golfing a long time, Kirk. If you remember, when you would go to Cordillera or the Red Sky courses, they would take your shoes and clean them, try to get the poe off of them. There's lots of things you can do. There are a lot of courses that will hand pick poa. We just can't do that. Yeah. We have too many rounds. We have too short a period of time. Ben and I consulted us about this a lot before he passed, and I've talked to Steve Sorrow a lot about it, who I trust very, very much. And they both said, Mike, just embrace the poa.
Right.
The hard part is, when we had lots of snow, it wasn't a big deal because we had an insulation blanket. But, in the last 5 years, last 10 years, where we're not having as much snow as we did in days gone by, we don't have that insulation. And poa does root more shallowly than the bent does. And if we get a lot of, of heat and then freezing and then heat and freezing, as temperatures fluctuate, that's when the poa dies.
Yeah.
But the poa always comes back. There's a seed bed in there that'll come back. It just doesn't, it may not, you keep your fingers crossed that it comes back in time, right? So that's the reason why we went to bent. There is a product out there, but it's very risky. Mm-hmm. It has to be applied in with only certain temperatures, which us being on this end of the valley, it's not very feasible because it has to be in the 80s and it has to be perfect for this poa cure to work. It's called poa cure. We've had the gentleman that created it come in. He's a Penn State guy, and he's talked about how he would monitor it with this, but I just don't want to do that. I want to kind of listen to the old sages and just embrace the poa. If we really think it's a problem, here's the other thing. You got to remember that poa in itself is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It got a bad rap when it was growing heavily, and it can get out of control if you don't have the cultural practices to take it, because the seed head comes up in the afternoon. But with the cutting and rolling and the maintaining that we do now and the products that we do have, I feel like we can maintain that seed head. But remember, Pebble Beach, Torrey Pines, all those Western courses are specifically and only Poa-ania.
I was going to mention that, but yes, right. Yeah.
So it's not that it's a bad thing, but you have a lot of older golfers and they remember the old days where poa was a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think it's actually, because it's a weed, if you cultivate it correctly, mm-hmm. it's a great surface.
Yeah.
Because it's dense.
And I don't know if you remember, but there was about 5 years ago, a superintendent tried a product that they were scared to death of, and that's what Mike was talking about. It just... embrace poa.
Second thing is, so several of us from the VRD board toured the Dobson Arena project this last week. Very, very impressive. Biggest Vail project that I've seen, construction project, recreation related. I just say, wow, it's going to be really something in about a year and a half, so when it's done. And I think the contractor is doing a good job, don't you, Mike? Yeah.
Oh, excellent job.
Yeah. Last thing. So we have, there's a big move on to increase the number of people in Vail by over 950 units, I think, over the next few years. One of the first things that I did on the board was... and it didn't work out very well, is the Aria Health Club was available for rent. I still am a little bit sad in this town that we don't have a rec center, as our Down Valley friends do. But I kind of see a different vision of smaller recreation spaces. Yeah, we have private companies that help fill the space, but you know, with over 950 new units coming on that are going to be filled with Vail people working in Vail, recreation is important to quality of life, as we all support. And I would like to see, Rick Sackbauer talked about a long-term plan. I would like to see maybe a committee with the town of Vail in terms of putting spot recreation, small recreation centers where people can work out, they can do Pilates, they can do other things, and not have to pay, you know, $200 a month for a private club. So that's my one thing that I wish for Vail going forward in terms of a long-term plan.
Kirk, to that end, I have spoken with Russ. We're going to do that, hopefully do that through Recreation Subcommittee.
Okay.
And so he's going to call a meeting here pretty soon, and we'll start talking about those things, where these pocket facilities are have availability, what can we do, how do we fund them, what kind of things do we want, survey the community and see what they want us to do. So
thank you.
We're on that.
Yep. That's all I had.
Thank you. Kim?
I would just like to say hats off to the pickleball staff. Friendly, outgoing, professional. They just are a great group of people, and I'm very, very happy when I get to get out there and see them. Being new to the golf world, I've had such an amazing time out there getting to know some of your staff members who I don't know how they do what they do, because when I'm out there, it's, you know, sips and tips. It's towards the end of the day. They've been there since the crack of very, very early. But they have such a level of professionalism and enthusiasm and just such great customer service skills. And I just am enjoying that whole new realm, and seeing some of the guests who are partaking of the services and the amazing people who are doing a great job. And then just lastly, riding my bike around town recently, just seeing, let's see, you had, was it King of the Mountain? You had the volleyball, and then you've had lacrosse. It has been extremely, extremely busy.
And then lacrosse will start again this next week.
Right.
So that was the youth. Now we'll have the adults this next week.
So there is a lot going on. And I also wanted to add that I've enjoyed being able to have access to more communications about the things that are going on.
Yeah.
It's terrific. So well done to you and your team.
Very good. Thanks, Kim. Anybody else? You know what I'm looking for.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I've got a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I also am in favor. Have a great week.